Officials have completed their risk assessment of the Cayman Islands nonprofit organizations. Paul Ennis, head of compliance at the General Registry, tells Radio Command listeners the overall results are positive.
It confirms that the risks for terrorist financing within the NPO sector in the Cayman Islands is low.
But terrorist financing isn't the only concern. There is also the risk of fraud. And in that instance, there are some areas of vulnerability. Mr. Ennis says some organizations don't have the appropriate internal controls to protect their NPO from that risk.
And unfortunately, we've seen examples of that happening within the sector. I mean, only last year we had somebody that was incarcerated because of stealing money from an NPO.
Mr. Ennis also says recent annual returns reveal that most of the money raised by nonprofits stays in the Cayman Islands.
So far, we have processed 127 annual returns, and there's a gross revenue of just over $33 million in gross revenue. And only 2.4% of that was sent off island in keeping with various NPO's purposes and activities. The remainder of that was used here. So I think that alone speaks to the goodwill of these people in these islands and the tremendous work that people are doing, giving of themselves, giving of their own time for the benefit of those persons who are vulnerable.
For entities who need help in developing internal control procedures, Mr. Ennis says they are working to assist and are also launching a public information campaign using the Ministry of Finance social media channels as well as other sources. The Ministry of Culture announces a compromise in the carnival battle moving forward. Officials say we will see a unified Cayman Carnival from May 9th to the 18th. It will comprise of an opening parade on May 9th produced by the Batabanoo Committee, a BRAC parade on the 16th of May produced by Bracanal, and a closing parade on the 18th of May produced by KMAS. The parade routes and closures will be channeled to RCIPS through CNCF and then shared with the public and businesses. There are also plans for a carnival calendar listing the events that each group will host, including those endorsed and funded by the ministry. The ministry and the National Cultural Foundation say they will continue to listen to stakeholders on an annual basis and make adjustments as necessary. They thanked all parties for their submissions, communications, and the healthy discussions that led to this decision. His Excellency the Governor is excited to see the continued forward momentum with regards to the creation of the Cayman Regiment.
It was a very proud moment yesterday for all involved in the Cayman Islands Regiment as we bid farewell to Halston, Gabby, Shanice, Theo and Janassi, our junior officers.
Governor Martin Roper tells Radio Cayman the team is off to Bermuda to begin training with the Royal Bermuda Regiment for the next 3 weeks. He says while the training will be tough, it is also excellent grounding for the course later this year at the Royal Military Academy Sandhurst. He says that is one of the world's leading training establishments.
We're delivering this project at pace in order to ensure that we will have a professional, organized, and disciplined team of people on hand to support our disaster management response as soon as possible.
Earlier this week, Mr. Roper issued commissions to the three senior officers who will be heading up the new Cayman Islands Regiment. They are Commanding Officer Lieutenant Colonel Simon Watson, Operations Advisor Lieutenant Colonel Simon Spears, and Legal Advisor Major Andre Mondesir. He has also appointed a Regimental Sergeant Major Warrant Officer 1, David Shelton. Traffic woes, speeding, and parking, just a few of the matters under discussion this week as the Royal Cayman Islands Police Service hosts community clinics in the Eastern Districts. Area Commander for the Eastern Districts, Inspector Fernando Soto, says the idea behind the clinics is to localize interaction between the public and the police.
We recognize that the Eastern and Northside police stations are not always open, even though we do have dedicated officers around the clock in the two districts. By adopting this approach, we want to make sure that the East End and North Side communities have a chance to interact one-on-one with their officers and use this as an opportunity to give us their feedback.
Inspector Soto says the clinics are a safe environment to approach police and share issues that are affecting them. Make sure you check out the RCIPS website and mobile app frequently to find out more about upcoming community clinics and the dates that senior officers will be in attendance. We're hearing more and more anecdotal evidence of people of all ages in Cayman living with panic and anxiety disorders. Radio Cayman's Felicia Rankin-Solins has more.
Panic and anxiety disorders can often be misunderstood. Clinical director and psychotherapist Sutton Burke at Infinite Mind Care wants to help people who do and don't experience this disorder to better understand it, such as identifying the signs of an attack.
Your basic signs are racing heart, feeling dizzy or faint, having some chest pains, Some people experience that breathing difficulties, really feeling that they're not in control of their body. Sometimes you get those clammy hands, they're feeling just sweaty everywhere, or opposite, feeling really super cold.
Ms. Burke says a treatment practiced at Infinite Mind Care called exposure therapy is a good way for those to soothe themselves during an attack.
First thing that I would say is to not judge or become fearful or make yourself wrong that you're having the symptoms. That makes the symptoms worse when we start to put a label onto those symptoms as bad, wrong. There's nothing to fear. Like, you don't die from a panic attack. Let yourself experience it without those thoughts. And once you kind of do that, you're not scared of the feeling and the experience. And once you do that, it really takes a lot of power away from the panic attacks.
Attacks can be triggered by a myriad of reasons.
Public speaking, having to have any kind of difficult conversation, just if anything that you fear is out of your comfort zone. Some people are more predisposed in panic attacks than others, but it's typically a buildup of stressors that have not been dealt with. You know, let's say someone's gotten into a car accident, they might start developing some symptoms of panic disorder every time they're about to get in a car.
Ms. Burke's advice on how to help someone through an attack differs depending on the situation.
What I would tell a patient's family is to do nothing. To say nothing. No comfort. A lot of times you see a child have a panic attack, you know, a parent wants to reassure their child, but unfortunately what that does is it teaches the child to gain reassurance outside of themselves instead of being able to learn to calm themselves down. If you're not a patient and you're just the average person, just be there to listen, understand, not take it away, not to say everything's going to be all right, or no, that's not a big deal, and you don't want to get angry at the person. Stand with them and just be with them.
For Radio K-Man News, I'm Felicia Rankin-Solins.
Infinite Mind Care is hosting a free seminar called Intro to Stopping a Panic Attack. It's at Books and Books and Kamana Bay at 9 a.m. on Saturday, February 15th. Known for their LGBTQIA human rights efforts on island, Colors Cayman is about to celebrate its second year anniversary. Founder and President Billy Bryan invites the public to join the party.
This Saturday at 7 to 9 at Kraft Food and Beverage, in celebration of our 2 years as a registered nonprofit, because we registered on the 15th of 2018.
Attendees can expect a raffle and auction, and the funds will go towards supporting the work of Colors Cayman.
Yeah, all the donations go towards mostly programming and workshop development. But I will be making a big announcement on the night, talking about the new initiatives we have going.
Brian will be presenting, and Daniel Gehring from Traverse Smith LLP will be the night's keynote speaker.
He's well known for his advocacy when it comes to LGBT rights in the UK and around the region, so it's great to have him speaking for us and at this event.
If you're interested in attending, tickets are available at eventbrite.com. The spotlight is on Little Cayman, as it's named a top must-dive destination. Radio Cayman's Shanda Gallego has more.
Forbes names the sister island a top must-dive destination for 2020. In the February 5th article, Forbes travel contributor Brianna Wilson zooms in on the Aggressor Cayman V liveaboard. According to Wilson, not only is the Aggressor Cayman V the top in terms of liveaboard experiences, but the diving here, she says, you board in Georgetown, then head around Grand Cayman, Little Cayman, and Cayman Brac is top-notch as well. Ms. Wilson says, from dive nights, we're spotting 22 lobsters, and for octopi, isn't out of the ordinary to exploring swim-throughs and the impressive walls on Little Cayman, which some might argue is the best wall diving in the Caribbean. This is the best way to be introduced to the whole liveaboard life. Ms. Wilson says, no doubt, you'll become addicted. Shanda Gallego, Radio Cayman News.
That's your latest local news from Radio Cayman's newsroom. I'm April Cummings.